Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us today. Now, my guest today is Lee Archibald. She helps busy Christians connect the Bible to the work that they do each and every day. She believes you can develop a deeper relationship with God and a more meaningful experience of work itself. At the Theology of Work Project, she puts timeless truths online for 2 million Christians across the world. Lee's devotionals include topics such as anxiety about money, how to make the right decision, when to speak up at work. She is the co-host of Making It Work, a podcast that will be beginning very soon that helps working Christians connect with God around their biggest work challenges. She's also the content development specialist at the Theology of Work Project. Lee helps busy Christians just connect with God and do it in the workplace. Praise the Lord. Now, folks, without further ado, help me welcome to the program Lee Archibald. Leah, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule today to join us.
Oh, Robert, thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Thank you for all the work you do helping folks connect, you know, God's word to their daily lives. I really appreciate being here.
Amen. Now, Leah, the first question I ask is this. Other than that brief intro, tell us in your own words, who is Leah Archibald?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. Well, I tell you what, I'm a Jewish girl originally who loved the scriptures, you know. What I had growing up is the first five books of the Bible, which we called the Torah, and I just found the story of God's people there. But when I was in my 20s, I started reading the gospel, and I found my story written there. You know, I connected with scripture in a new and very personal way when I found the person of Jesus, who sees us, who I felt saw me in all of my sin and brokenness and saved me personally. So I became a Christian when I was 24. I started a project to read the entire Bible from cover to cover, and I really connected to the story of God in a way that came alive for me in a very new way in my 20s. And career-wise, back then, I wasn't working in ministry. I was working in the for-profit sector. I was in marketing for software companies. So I ran online marketing programs for companies like IBM, selling business-to-business systems integration software. And I didn't see a lot of connection between God and my daily work at that point. You know, I have to say, I felt like there were some interesting things about my work, you know, and certainly I strive to be good at it. But I felt like my faith was something that I did on Sunday. And then my work was something that I did Monday through Friday. And I didn't really like that much. My work, that being said. And I left work for about 7 years to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. At the time, that felt like that was my calling. I have three beautiful boys. The now the oldest one is 10 and the youngest one is 5. God bless me. And I stayed home with them for a long time while they were little. And, at, you know, at the towards the end of that experience, I started feeling like maybe that was not 100% of my calling. Certainly, I'm calling to be a mom and I love my children, but it was not, you know, the whole entire person that God created me to be, being at home. And so 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to work for the outfit where I'm currently at called the Theology of Work Project. And it's really the perfect job that God has put me into, where what I do is help bridge that gap that I didn't have. You know, the gap that I had when I was in the secular workplace, not being able to connect what I was doing every day to God's purposes for me. You know, now I believe, oh my gosh, God can use everything. You know, every job that a person is in can be service to the Lord. So what I do now is similar to what I did, you know, in secular business. I wrote, you know, online content that helps someone learn something from a website. Now I create online content like devotionals and reading plans and this new podcast to help people connect the Bible to the work they do every day. So I am, I'm truly, truly blessed in that. That's me in a nutshell.
Amen. And you also served in the online publishing industry, right?
I did. So, you know, and I got into it, back in 1999 when the online publishing industry was a little different and not everyone was in it, you know, and so we're making like white papers and webinars, you know, was the currency of the day, you know, but what I've learned and the industry has definitely evolved in that time, right? So now there's so many different ways that we can digest information, right? Oh, you can digest it on your phone. You can digest it through video. You know, you can get, I love the online Bible reading plan through YouVersions that can be served right to your phone. Mm-hmm. But you know, the way that we digest information has changed, and the way that we've digested scripture has changed, you know, over the past few decades. And I have to say, I have to see it in a good way. You know, I know a lot of people bemoan, oh no, people aren't reading their paper Bibles anymore, which is sad, but I think the Word of God is available to people all day long, mm-hmm. every day, you know, and instantly searchable. And that means it's instantly applicable to the, you know, if you're in your office facing a hard situation, or if you're at home and like, oh God, I can't face a situation with my kids. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, the Word of God is accessible to all of us in those situations because of this technology. So I'm excited about the way online publishing has changed.
Yeah, amen. Now, can you explain a little bit about what the Theology of Work project is all about? I mean, who do you serve in this project?
Sure. So there are about 2 million Christians all across the globe who access our materials on our website, which is theologyofwork.org, or through YouVersion reading plans, or you know, through this new podcast that we're launching, which is on makingitworkpodcast.org. But basically what we do is we look at the entire knowledge in Scripture focused around one question. What does the Bible have to say about my work, right? So there's a lot of commands and a lot of stories in the Bible, but we really want to know, when I go to work in the morning, whatever that work is, what does the Bible have to say for me? So our core resources is a commentary. We've looked at every single book in the Bible, and what does it have to say about work? You know, what does Genesis have to say about our work? You know, God created man and woman to work with him, to partner with him in his work. You know, what does the book of Proverbs have to say about work? Well, it actually has a lot of things to say about, you know, about being diligent, about being shrewd, you know, very specific lessons that we can take to our work. You know, even thinking, you know, a small book like the book of Ruth has so much to say about workplace dynamics and helping the stranger and the foreigner navigate, you know, different workplace dynamics. How do we work well as a manager, managing other people? You know, the character of Boaz has a lot to say about that. Yeah. You know, how do we care for others in our work? So what we've done through the Bible commentaries, look at every single book of the Bible, and what does it have to say about work? And then we make that searchable, right? So you could go book by book through the Bible and wonder, gosh, you know, what does the Gospel of Mark have to say to me today for my work? Or you could search for topics. You know, you could think, a lot of people are thinking about calling. What is my calling from God? What does that mean? You know, so we have like key topic articles, you know, a bunch of scriptures from the Bible that help you think about calling. You can search for topics like calling. You can search for ethics. A lot of people face ethical issues in their work and go, how do I make this decision? Do I do what my boss is telling me? Do I do what my conscience is telling me? How do I know? How do I think about truth and deception in the marketplace, especially if you work in an industry like marketing, like I worked in? You know, those are some very live issues. You know, what do you hide and what do you reveal? So all these are things that we talk about in articles on our website. And then on the Making It Work podcast, what we do is we talk to Christians who are in the marketplace, who are, you know, on the front lines, and who are applying the Bible to decisions that they make in their day-to-day work, or they faced an issue in their day-to-day work. And they're talking about how Scripture has helped them view that issue or make a decision one way or the other.
Amen. And your material is available in different languages as well, correct?
It sure is. So we have material available in Spanish. We have material available in Korean. We're translating into a bunch of other languages as well. So we have folks all over the world using our materials. And I just think, you know, so much has been done to connect the Bible to our lives, but so many of us are still so hungry for the Word of God, especially, you know, when we go out into our workplaces. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I know that I know I'm serving the Lord on Sundays. You know, when I go to church, mm-hmm. I'm doing the right thing as a parent or in my family. But most folks aren't really sure. There's the sacred secular divide that goes on in folks' heads. They're not really sure how they can bring their faith to work, or they think bringing faith to work is only evangelism. Well, it could be that, but it's so much else. It's how we behave at work, how we carry ourselves, and how we make decisions. And the Bible really does have a lot to say about that.
Amen. Amen. Let's say someone's just graduating from high school and contemplating what they should study in college. I mean, this is an expensive and time-consuming thing that they're going to be undertaking, and they don't want to waste time or money on something that mm-hmm. sounds good now, but that they're not going to enjoy 5 or 10 years from. How can you help someone like that find their calling in life? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing I would say is I would just love to turn down the volume of the pressure that young people feel to find the one perfect job that's going to set them up perfectly for the rest of their life. Because that wasn't my story. You know, Robert, I know that wasn't your story.
Not at all.
Either. You know, most of us don't have this life story where, you know, right out of high school, we got called to the one perfect job that was going to fulfill us. Mm-hmm. You know, right? Like the number one calling, Romans 1:6 says that the believer has been called to belong to Jesus Christ, right? That's mm-hmm. that's our yep. number one. Yep. You know, we've been so called to be part of God. And that's the big picture of calling, you know, and if you're doing that, then any other thing that you do in your life, any workplace that you go into is a place where you can live out that calling to serve God. But your number one calling is to belong, be part of God. And if you're doing that, you're going to be okay, right? So let's just turn down the stress a little bit. Then, you know, if I was advising, you know, my kids are too young, but when they get older, you know, I'd love to advise them. God made you in a very particular way, right? God gave every person skills and gifts, which is something that you can look at. And God also put in your heart some deep desires. You know, my kids have different desires in their heart than I do. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, that's Psalm 37:4. So God does care about these things that drive us, you know, and there are ways to look for that. When you are doing a particular type of work, do you come alive? You know, if I'm on my computer and I'm quietly writing, I really come alive. I do. I feel very engaged in that. If I have to do an analytical spreadsheet, not so much. You know, so God created me in a very particular way, and I can look at that, you know, versus my child who's very into engineering and he can take a toaster apart and then put it, well, he can't put it back together, actually. That would be nice. But, you know, God created
But he can take it apart.
He can take it apart. He's young. He's still reaching the first step, right? He's got some discernment to do, you know, and maybe not in my kitchen. But anyway. All that is to say, you know, God created each of us in a very specific way, and that's something that we can look at to find our calling. But then there's this other, you know, there's other axis that's intersects, which is, you know, so I just talked about your skills and gifts, your truest desires, but then there are the needs of the world, right? And that's this intersecting axis, which where do your desires and your skills meet with the needs around you, right? The needs of And there's this first need that we all have to support ourselves through our work, right? And so there are financial needs for yourself. You may have needs for your family to support other people in your family. And then there are needs of the community around you. You may see a lack in a particular industry or, you know, a lack of people leaping up to do a certain task. And if that stirs something in your heart, you know, that's an area that you can search to find your calling.
I know that, you know, a lot of people, because I've got two grandchildren now that are college age, and, you know, sometimes someone will jump into a career because it pays well. It's all about the money, you know, because money provides, quote unquote, security in this society. Mm-hmm. But then they find themselves basically a slave to the job. And they're afraid to try and leave because they've invested, you know, time and education and all that in this career path. And that creates anxiety and stress. And sometimes it may even create marital problems because of the stress. Mm-hmm. How can someone deal with that type of situation if they find themselves stuck there?
I was just going to ask you the same question, Robert. I was going to say, gosh, what do you counsel them? I'm so curious. This is people, you know, if this is people in your network, you know, you're a pastor. What do you counsel people in that? I'll give you my idea, but I want to hear your idea first.
Okay. Well, what I tell them is go with your heart. Mm. Number one, you know, jobs, how I put it to them, we are called, first of all, to serve God, as we were previously discussed. That's the highest calling. But in order to live in this world, there are certain things that we have to have. Now, the days of, you know, barter trading, for the most part, do not exist. You know, you don't grow corn, and, you know, once a year you take your harvest into the general store, and he gives you so much per bushel, and, you know, you've been buying clothes and goods throughout the summer, and now he pays down that debt, and you got, you know, this credit to your account, and you can go buy school clothes for the kids. And all. Those days are over. You have to have currency to survive in the world today, basically. But every person is given the same 24 hours each and every day. So when you take a job, it's because someone, in this case the employer, needs help in a certain area. I mean, it could be sorting mail, it could be filing folders or loading trucks or whatever. So when you take a job, you are basically saying, God's given me 24 hours. I'm going to give you 8 hours each day of my time. In exchange, I need you to give me X amount of dollars so I can take care of that currency issue and trade it in the marketplace to take care of my needs, my family needs. So if you are not happy trading your time for that type of employment, you're not tied to that job. You know, you're tied to God. Allow God to guide you to the next job. You know, and that's where I, you know, kind of point people is that you need to pray about the career choice you're taking. I'll give you a good example. When I left the military, I did not have a job. So, you know, for whatever reason, my resume of being a professional killer just didn't resonate well in the corporate marketplace. I ended up taking an insurance job, became a life insurance agent. Found out I was good at sales. And within 2 years, I had my own agency. Within 3 years of that, we built it to number two agency in the nation for the company I was with. But it just wasn't making me happy. So I left the agency and turned it all over to someone else and left and went to Bible school. And after Bible college, I worked 2 years for a national ministry, and it was a concert ministry, you know, music ministry. And we did 48 concerts in 48 different cities in 1 year. And I was basically the one in charge of all of that. So I learned a lot about the internal functionings of ministry and how to put on large-scale events and all that, and found out, wow, I really enjoy doing this. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the person in charge of ministry had changed the focus a little bit. So I went on, and we moved to Baltimore, Maryland. I did not want to leave Texas to move to Maryland. I did not want to leave Texas. Not at all.
You were fighting with the Lord on that one.
Oh, boy. And he had called me. Remember when the Al Gore, George Bush election took place and a big controversy in, you know, about Florida, and it went to the Supreme Court? Well, that's when God was calling me to move to Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nope, not doing it. I'm staying right here in Texas. And my daughter had married a guy from Maryland and Baltimore and moved out here. And she knew we were going through all these struggles and stuff because of, you know, everything going on. And she goes, Dad, just come on out here. And I said, nope, I'm not leaving Texas. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. Well, the company I was working with at the time ended up going bankrupt. They still owe me 2 months' wages to this day. That was back in 2001. And now we're really in trouble. And again, as Laura said, go to Maryland. I was like, well, it's either that or be homeless. So we packed up and moved to Maryland. And this is where the blessing is. You know, I have a sermon that I've originally heard it taught by Andrew Womack. It's called Your Place Called There. And it's talking about like Elijah after he had went to King Ahab, says, it's not going to rain till I say so. God didn't pat him on the back, say, kick back, take it easy, man, you did a great job. He told him, run. <You know? laughs> They're going to come looking for you now. Run.
Oh,
you know? And he said, I want you to go out here into the wilderness to the brook Cherith, and that's where your provision is. Now, Elijah could have said, no, I'm not leaving my family. I'm not leaving my house and my friends. But he could, God would have been okay with that. Yeah, you can stay in the town if you want, but you're going to get arrested and all this other stuff's going to happen. Where was his provision? Out at the brook, And when he got out there and found where his provision was, he stayed there even when the brook dried up. He refused to move until God told him to go elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And when we got to Baltimore, this is where our provision was. He became a cop and had a great career and all the stuff that happened with that. But God took care of the retirement pension and all that good stuff. But I refused to move because God hasn't told me to move yet, Even though I desire to move to a more hospitable place, I guess you could say, for religious reasons. Mm-hmm. God told me this is where I want you and this is where you're going to stay, and the provision keeps coming. So this is my place called there, and that's where I'm at. And that's my counsel is, what is your place called there? Where are you supposed to be? If you're not happy in this job, God will show you where you're supposed to be. And if he doesn't show you another place, then this is where he wants you.
And there's so many stories like that. The Bible, the stories of the people since the beginning of time who have followed God is filled with these stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, your story there that you're telling, Robert, could be the story of Jacob. It could be the story of Abraham. Yeah. Yeah. All of our heroes in faith that have gone before us are people who have had itinerant careers where the next step wasn't clear. Yeah. But they were going someplace that God showed them, or they were going someplace because they were running away. Like that was also, that was also very true in Jacob's story. I mean, when you mention this company, not giving you your back pay, it immediately popped into my mind Jacob and him saying of his uncle Laban, my wages were changed on me seven times, he's never given me the rams and sheep from his flock. He had a terrible.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. That's true.
and in service 7 years for one, not get the prize that he wanted, and then another 7 years. I mean, what a just a terrible worker. And yet, this is one of the men through which God sets up his relationship with humanity, that special covenantal relationship, is passed down through this character who has a really who must have many, many times woken up and been like, why am I in this job? For heaven's sakes, what are you doing to me? So I think, something that I notice on this Making It Work podcast, when we talk to Christians in the workplace who are thinking about these questions of career and calling, many folks feel very seen and supported when they see their stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's what I would counsel to young people who are asking these questions about calling, search the scriptures, read a scriptural story and say, how does that relate to me? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes we think the Bible is something over there or about people who lived a long, long time ago, or about people who are better, or somehow different, somehow better. I don't know how you could think about it if you read those Old Testament stories, but, in our minds, when we don't read it, we can kind of think, oh, that's someone else's story, and when I read that story of Jacob, for example, I think, oh no, that's my story of not knowing, not having a great job, thinking, when do I get to get out of here, and still being what God is using in my life to get me to the next place.
Yeah, amen. And even though you may know what your purpose, God's purpose for your life is, there's still a training period that has to take place before you can come into the full aspect of the ministry. I talk about Moses. The prophecy in the Bible was God told Abraham, your descendants will be held captive 400 years, but then I'll deliver them. Well, then came the time for the deliverance, and God rose Moses up, and there was the persecution against the male children and all that, but God supernaturally ended up putting Moses in the palace, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was being educated and all the things that he needed to do, to run a nation and all that good stuff. And then Moses began to sense what his calling was going to be. But instead of waiting on God to promote him, he decided to take things into his own hands. And that's where he killed the Egyptian. Yeah. And I've read several commentaries on this, that if let's just say there's 2 million Israelites, Jews, Hebrews in Egypt at the time, and say 10% of them were being killed or die off every year. That's 200,000 a year. And these commentaries said that the way that it was shaping up, if Moses would have just waited 10 years, he would have been in a position probably to have influenced freeing the slaves. Either Ramses would have died or whatever, right? But he would have, I mean, he was going to be number three in the nation. He had the Pharaoh, the son, and then him. So, you know, he was there in the position to do something. But he moved ahead of God's plan. Remember, the Bible says, you know, he did this thinking that they would realize, you know, why God had raised him up type thing. Mm. Instead, he fled. And for another 40 years, he was out in the wilderness basically getting right with God. He had no house, no possessions. The only thing he owned was that staff, that walking stick, because his, you know, his wife belonged to his boss, right? His boss's daughter. He lived in the boss's house. You know, why was he out walking in the wilderness looking, you know, and found the burning bush? At work, you have people that, you know, friends and stuff that you can talk to about things going on in your life. And if your spouse upsets you about something, you can talk to your best friend about it. Who's Moses going to talk to? He can't complain to the boss about the wife, and he can't complain to the wife about the boss, right? So he's out in the wilderness talking to God. But eventually, God says, okay, now it's time for you to go back. And that extra 30 years, if you count the 10% per year we were talking about, right? That's what? A couple hundred thousand people that died needlessly because Moses tried to get ahead of God's plan.
You know what's so encouraging to me in that story? God still met him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, God still came to his workplace. You know, Moses is out there, a shepherd in the wilderness, and God shows up in his place of work, you know, through in the burning bush saying, hey, come here, look at this. You know, take off your sandals. This isn't just a regular day. You're on holy ground. You know, this place of your work is holy ground. You're talking to me right now. You know, I think that that gives me, as someone who's, you know, gone here and there and everywhere in my career path, a lot of just a feeling that there's a lot of freedom. You know, there's a lot of freedom to make mistakes and to still make it right with God in the end.
And God can still use you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lord knows I made a lot of mistakes. And he's still like, yeah, it's okay, boy. Come on. Amen. Look, Leah, I know some people can't stay all the way through the podcast, you know, through the whole interview. So I want to give you a chance to, if someone had a question for you, wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Sure. So the best way to hear our work right now is to go to makingitworkpodcast.org. And that is where we have all our conversations with Christians in the workplace. You know, we're putting that podcast up there, and there's also a contact form. You can send us questions. We can talk about them on air. And you can send us a direct, send me a direct question there too.
Okay. And the website for Theology of Work is
theologyofwork.org. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Absolutely.
Amen. I'll put a link to all that in the show notes down below. Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with Lee Archibald of the Theology of Work Project. Now, if you have missed anything that we talked about today, you need to catch up. I mean, the information she is providing is just outstanding. And the Theology of Work Project will help guide you down the path by giving you, that's right, giving you resources to see whether or not you are on the right career path. You know, some people wonder that. It may be you are on the right career path. You're just on a little detour right now. You need some guidance in getting back on the path, on the correct path. Or it may call for a complete overhaul of your career plans. I mean, you don't know, but if you're confused about it, that's what the Theology of Work Project is all about. Download the free resources, partner with this great work of God, but be sure you go down in the show notes, get in touch with them, look at the resources they have available for you, and be sure you come back tomorrow to catch part two, because it gets even better. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.